this dynamic. So we will get full solution in this, I would say, simplest quantum field theory. But by the way, this is simplest quantum field theory. I already maybe briefly mentioned this. Has direct relations to reality, because this Klein-Gordon equation or theory describe scalar particles, and we know many actually scalar particles in nature, including very important particles, pions. Pions very important because they are lightest hadrons, lightest particles which participate in strong interactions. And actually, Klein-Gordon equation is related to these particles. Okay, so I hope, yeah, we have. So let us start quantization. We actually started last time, but just started. Okay, so in the case of Schrödinger picture, we have quantum fields which are time independent. Okay, just also what I need in order to erase. It seems there is nothing. Do you know? Oh, there again. Sorry? Besides the projector? Here. Oh, okay, right. Yeah, it's better. So this could be written like that also. Okay, and we have commutation relations, right? And then commutators with zeros. Right. And this we will call equation one. Okay, so what we know, we already know, we wrote a general solution, and I will write This is general solution of Klein-Gordon equation. We discuss this. This, in the case of time-dependent field. Okay, and it's important that P0 is this. And this guy is okay, so it will be equation two. And then of course we can write expression for momentum density pi, and it will be this. Just take derivative of this expression, time derivative. Okay, again, this is P0 equal EP. This will be three equation. And from here, we get Schrodinger field. Just put T equals zero. Okay, and let's call this like this is three dimensional spatial Fourier transform. So we can write this in this way. This is this guy. E x, and this will be four. So I just introduce this symbol and I x is this. And here we have fragment this. And this we have minus and we call it d3 2 pi q, and this will be Fourier transform three-dimensional connected with momentum density. So we have this. Okay, so actually, let me write explicit relation phi and pi through A and A dagger. Actually, our goal now to get from commutation relation 1, commutation relation for A P and A P dagger. So, we have after 5 here those phi and pi I introduced. It will be here phi p. It's easy to check this. Plus. And phi p equal minus I square root e p over 2. And this is this combination minus. And this will be 6. So you can see that at fixed value p, phi and pi both include A and A dagger. A comes from p, then A dagger from minus p. And this is connected with this structure. Okay, this is 6, and what we need to know that this is inverse Fourier transform. So actually, we need this. We already discussed this stuff. Phi x Schrödinger field and saying for, so no 2 pi in this case. D3 x. And this is pi x, and this is 7. And now we should calculate just directly, because we know commutation relation 1, and by using 1, and by using what we now have, we first, in order to get commutation relation for A and A dagger, we actually calculate relations for phi and pi p. So calculate for phi p. By using 1. Okay, so let's start from this commutator between field and momentum density, but in momentum space. So just we should substitute 7, right? We know. And we will get this. Just use 7, right? Then we will get this. What we are doing, it's quite typical calculation in field theory. So I proceed quite in detail this time because it's first time we are doing. Okay, so we have this, and now we have commutator, which we know this is pi y. Okay, so now we should substitute this commutator, right? This will be I dx. D3y again, this exponent p prime y and just delta 3x minus y. I put I here. Okay, now we can integrate over y, right? Easy. So just integrate because of delta function, and then we get. We remove essentially one integral, right? Because of property of delta function, and we have this just substitute everywhere instead y x and remove integration by using property of delta function, and now we know actually what it is because I showed you property of delta function, and this integral is this actually. So if you look at your note or my note, yeah, in video or PDF file, this guy gives delta function but in momentum space. Okay. Similarly, one gets F pi. So this, yeah, F pi prime equal 0 and same story for pi pi, just acting in the same way. Check in by yourself. Okay, so let us call all this relation 7. So what does it mean? We know that commutators for phi between phi in momentum space 0 and between pi and phi, but commutator between phi and pi is expressed through this. So all these 3 will be a call. Oh, I already have 6, 7. Okay, so this is then 8, right? Because I put 7 here. Oh. This is 8. Now, by using 6, which is okay, we have. You can see that 6 gives me expression phi and pi through a and a dagger. Now we resolve those 6 equation 6 in order to get a and a dagger, and we get this. Let me write. I will introduce first answer. Yeah, it's not type or it's bar. I will introduce them. Where phi, this guy, he is square root 2 ep r phi, and phi bar p equal I square root of 2 over square root of E P pi P. This is just definition of those stuff, so I should put actual identical. Okay. Right. And from A, we get will get commutation relation for phi bar and pi bar. So this will be like that. Minus 2 pi cube delta 3 p plus p prime, and those two zeros, phi bar p phi bar p prime equal pi P pi bar P prime and zero equal zero. Okay, so let's write. So what we have 8, right? So we could call this 9, right? So this is expression 9. And from this relation from 9 now, we get, so we have expression of A and A dagger through those phi bar and pi bar, and we know their relation. We get this. Okay, this A P A dagger prime is equal to 2 pi cube delta 3 p minus p prime, and those two are equal to 0. A p a p prime equal a dagger p a dagger p prime equal 0. So this is 10. Okay, so now express Hamiltonian through those A and A dagger. H, and we already derived Hamiltonian in as a three-dimensional integral of Hamiltonian density. So it's straightforward, right? You just should substitute. We have expression for phi x, pi x. We have through A. So it's straightforward, right? OK. Oh, that's good. Let's start from here. Right. So let us start. So we have three terms, right, in this Hamiltonian in integrand, pi square, essentially phi square, and square of grad. Let's consider first this term. This. Now substitute, it's not here now. Okay. Substitute. Okay, sorry. Substitute, maybe here, substitute. 2 and 3, this is our, it seems, relation for pi and phi Fourier transform, three dimensional. Substitute 2 and 3 into H. Let's consider first this. Okay. D3x pi square x and we have two integral D3x and two p integral D3p D3p prime, and this guy gives me x equals p prime p pi seeing on here. Okay, now we can integrate over x, again, by using relation for delta function. We actually get the delta function three-dimensional for p plus p prime. Integrate over x. Then we will get 2 pi cube. So it will cancel. 2 pi 6 becomes 2 pi cube now. And we have d3 p prime. And this our delta function, which comes. And now take p prime integral, and then we have simple relation for this term, just one p integral, and we have p pi p minus pi. Okay, right.
So, I think the first two pi's on the second line, that shouldn't be a minus p prime. It should be a p prime.
Yeah. Here?
Yeah.
I believe, plus. You see, you take, no, it's, oh, okay.
It's plus there in terms of.
Right, minus. Right, just one moment. We have, yes. Thank you. Right. Yes, thank you. We have, and then we will get minus. Exactly. Okay, where is our last was 9, right? Okay, so we can, this is 10. So let me just, this is 11. Just I want to follow my notes. And this will be 12. Right. Similar treatment yields for this term, m squared phi squared. That this guy m squared over 2 and d3x m phi squared x gives me m squared over 2, 1 over 2 pi cube d3p phi. Just same structure, and this will be 30. Right. The last term, this is graph. Okay. So we have 1/2 d. 3x grad phi squared. So we doing same things. Substitute Fourier transform. And now each grad, when I x on my exponent gives 1 power of momentum. Let me just write. Then we see. So see grad acting on phi x after phi x is expressed through Fourier transform, x on exponent, and we will get this stuff. Instead, grad. And still we have this our friend, exponent p plus p prime. And phi pi phi pi prime. Okay. So now again, take x exponent x integral. And we will get similar expression. Let me just write answer d3p p square phi p phi minus p. So result is similar to result for previous two terms. The only point that we got this power p squared because of this graph. Okay, so this will be 14. And now I should. Can do this. It's exercise. I'm leaving today to New York after the class, so it's good before the trip exercise. Okay, so we got three terms. Expression for Hamiltonian, but now, yeah, expressed through momentum integrals, not x integrals. So we have this p, and we have this 1/2 pi p pi minus p plus 1/2 p square plus m square phi p phi minus p, and this will be 15. Now substituting, we have 6. You see, we can express phi and pi through a and a dagger in C. Right. By using equation 6, we get just everything will be expressed now. Will be long expression. I promise to be quite age 1/2. P3P and many terms. Okay, if you substitute. we will get P outside square bracket, and we have this term AP A dagger P minus A P A minus P minus A dagger minus P A dagger P plus A dagger minus P A minus P plus A P A dagger P plus A P A minus P plus A dagger minus P A dagger P and the last A dagger minus P A minus P. Okay, so we have this term, and similar term should be P. This one is 6P, right? Okay, this guy. Now this term, let me, and I have this guy, right? So they cancel. Now this, say, 1, 2, 3, and this is here. Again, cancel. Now this guy, and we have, one should consider this. Okay, so we have then two types, this and this. Now let's consider this relation equal, and now use this relation A. This is our commutator we just derived, but let's consider this commutator when P and P prime equal. It's a little bit strange answer, but we will write as it is. It follows from this, right? When P equal P prime, we will get D3 at such an argument like 0. Okay. So this give me this then. Let me let me in the case of this and this change the order A and A dagger. So you will see why we need to do this. But at this moment just we can A and A dagger for this term write like in this order A dagger A. So we can write by using this expression. Just one moment. I believe I made this will demand 4. Sorry, guys. So this 1-4. Just you will check this. So we have this. And now we have addition connected with this delta 3 zero contribution, quite poor contribution, but we got it. EP 2 pi cube delta 3 0. Okay. Now, what is meaning of this delta 3 0? It's actually something now very important in physics, terms like that connected maybe with cosmological constant. What is meaning of delta 3 0? Okay, we will write this. We know this relation for delta 3 p. This integral. This representation in my notes for delta 3 momentum space. From here, take p equals 0. Then we will get 2 pi cube delta 3 0 is nothing else but d3f. But this guy is volume, right? So sorry, Then we have put 0, and then we will get d3x, and this is infinite volume, of course, but we put this letter V, just three-dimensional volume. It's, of course, infinite. Then what we have, we have that H equal let me rewrite this 2. I let me write answer. Plus V, this is volume, 2 pi cube. And we have d3p in p over 2. Okay, let's try to interpret this stuff. You see, I omitted 1/2, but then I have 2 terms. And because anyway, I have integration over plus and minus momentum, I could rewrite in this way this stuff. Okay, if you let me recall oscillator Hamiltonian in quantum mechanics. So what we had in that case, we had, of course, just 1 degree of freedom. Let's consider one dimensional. We have actually frequency, not energy, right? We usually an oscillator. And then we have, and then we had also this term, which in quantum mechanics called zero point energy. Of course, this guy H, H bar equal one in our case. Anyway, this is energy. So what we have here in quantum field theory, Klein-Gordon, we have continuum number of oscillator in this simple theory. For each p three-dimensional, we have its own oscillator. And because of that, for each p, we have contribution to zero point energy. It's infinite. And you see this volume, it gives correct, actually, dimension, right? Because in our units, product V, d3p, this is dimensionless. And then we have this energy. And we have infinite. This is typical situation in quantum field theory when we have this C numbers contribution in energy, both for fermions and bosons. You know, there are two types of particles, particles with integer spin are called bosons. And of course, the scalar is boson and fermions. They have half integer and they are called fermions. And they satisfy another statistic. We will, of course, come to that. But their contribution is with minus, by the way, not with plus. And it's still a mystery what one should do with this C term, actually, in quantum field theory. In standard model, you have also this contribution of huge. Usually, when you ignore gravity, this term is irrelevant. It's just change reference point for energy. It's not observable without gravity. So you could ignore it. And this is what people now do. But it's still, as I said, a mystery what really we should do with this stuff. Yes.
So referring to this equation, I have written delta 3 of 0, 2 pi cubed delta 3 of 0 is equal to V.
Yeah, I wrote that this stuff equals volume, right? Because this is three-dimensional integral. Of course, it's infinite again. But you could consider, you could, of course, consider, you know, there is no, what is philosophers call, no actual infinity. Usually, it's very large, right? For us, all our universe, for example. Then it will be volume of our universe. What matters is energy density. Then you will get this. If you, this is energy, but if you divide by V, this is energy density. But it's still infinite. You can easily check that this integral diverges. So actually, not just energies, it's a good question. Thank you. Not just energy is infinite, but energy density is infinite. You could easily check that. So this guy, V2 pi Q D3 P E B over 2 yields infinite energy density. This is what matters, which is equal, let me write, of course, this is divergent integral, for sure, right? So you see that not just energy, but energy density, I substitute EP is nothing else but this. So it's density. So it's still a mystery, okay? But, right.
You also said that scalar theory is the scalar field theory is for a boson. So is your definition at this point of a boson the fact that AP, AP dagger is delta, commutator is delta? Is that the
okay, definition? Okay. We will see. I come to that maybe even today. We come to that that when quantization of the field is proceeding in using commutators, all these particles satisfy what is called Bose-Einstein statistics, or usually just Bose statistics, people say, without Einstein, Bose statistics. But in the case of fermions, this is particles with half integer, we will use, and we will be forced to use, not commutator, but anti-commutator. Then it will be a little bit different, not little bit, a lot different, yeah. Extremely different quantization. And in this case, you have the realization what is known in quantum mechanics as principal power. And this is Fermi statistics. Okay? So at this moment.
You will prove that these, you will derive the statistics of these particles.
Yeah, I want to give some of you, actually, as a project, the article of Mr. Pauli, sorry, Professor Pauli, written in 1940 in Physical Review. It's very clearly written, actually. And this is about the connection between spin and statistics. So he proved that in order to get consistent theory, you should. And this is only can be proved in relativistic field theory. In non-relativistic, there is no theory. You can use actually commutator for electrons, despite the point that they have spin one half. Just experiments suggest us, as Pauli came, he proved first nothing. He just described some spectra. He recognized that one should introduce what later was called principal power. But in relativistic physics, it's possible to prove that otherwise theory will be inconsistent. So if I want to quantize this theory, like Klein-Gordon scalar, or for photon electrodynamics, by using anti-commutators, I will come to contradiction. And another thing that if I try to quantize theory for electrons or quarks, for example, by using commutators, but not anti-commutators, I will come to theory without ground state. So energy is actually unbounded in this case. So it's again a kind of unstable back theory. So maybe some of you will take this. It's very clearly, and it's kind of elementary in some sense, It's not difficult, I believe, to work with this paper of power. I believe it would be nice. Okay, so this is about this stuff. As I said, it's certainly quite interesting stuff. Okay. No power left in my body. No more jumps. That at least this exercise.
Well, I suppose you should mention, like, Casimir, in fact, that this energy is really, is a real energy.
Yeah, but it's not this exactly theory. In that case, we have some special boundary conditions. You see, it's actually, in that case, we have finite energy. So we have theory when we have not ground state, which is Lorentz invariant in this case, but something else. For example, you could consider some Laplace and so on. But yes, it's quite possible that, so in that case, you also subtract this terms, infinite terms, in order to get finite result. Okay, now some short. But yes, it's certainly still one of very important questions. I completely agree with you. So this infinite term cannot be without gravity detected experiment, let me say. So I even write without gravity. One can measure actually usually different only energy difference. From the ground state of A, let me define immediately definition. So the ground state of H is a state with the lowest energy. That's it. We will find it now. Is a state with the lowest energy. It's actually universal definition. Lowest, no, with the lowest energy, right, with the lowest energy. We will find now this state here with the lowest energy. Okay, so we omit this term, this infinite term. And this leads us to this Hamiltonian.
just this step. Okay. Right. Then using this H, we get, first let me write something. H those relation. Okay, so let me call this 16, right? We have 15. So this will be 16. We get this stuff and H. And now taking, we already find by discussing Noether's theorem, momentum operator. We find in the same way like we found Hamiltonian in terms of A that this guy equals this. In this case, there is no infinite terms. This is okay. This is say will be 17. This will be 18. And we have this P A dagger P equal P A dagger P. P A P small gives me minus P A P. And this will be 19. Okay, so now let us describe physical states in this theory. So actually, they are constructed in similar way like for the case of oscillator in quantum mechanics. You know, in quantum mechanics, you again introduce this analog A dagger A, but you have just one A dagger and one A in that case. I mean one-dimensional oscillator. Right. So first, define
the ground state, which we should prove that it has the lowest energy, otherwise it's not. And this is S. It's called also vacuum. And that for which A, for which it's important I will write A, P, acting on ground state gives zero. So all these A operators annihilate ground state. Then H acts on vacuum and it yields zero, right? Because we now use H in this form without infinite term. So its energy is just zero. So now we should show that all other states have positive energy, right? Otherwise, it's not ground state. Not just this guy equals zero. Look at P, this momentum operator. A dagger A. This is actually why we reduce the form to A dagger A, because it's much easier to calculate, right, in this case. So then we also acting on it's also give zero. So energy is zero, and then momentum is zero, right, in this ground state. Right.
So we work in Schrodinger picture, right? So
right.
And our state is depending on time.
Yeah. You could, of course, in this case, what you should consider? You should consider Schrodinger equation in order to derive this dependence, right? Of course, because they are the states, eigenvalues of energy, you know the answer, right? Dependence on time, how it will. We will come to that. But yes, in principle, like a Schrodinger picture, working with Schrodinger equation, you could consider eigenvalues of stationary part, right? Just Hamiltonian. But there is, and this is another maybe project. Point is that actually one could write Schrodinger equation in quantum field theory. It will be variational equation. And there is another project actually for somebody of you. And there is paper which shows. But now we consider those guys as eigen function of Hamiltonian. And of course those guys could be considered at t equals zero, right? And then because dependence on t is evident for them. Right.
How do you know that the ground state exists? Something happening at
the right. Okay, so we will come to that. At this moment, it's unclear that it has lowest energy, okay? So we have this answer. Now let's consider other state. It's a good question and we come to that. Now we have this guy. I could consider the following state. It's called one particle state. We will understand soon why. Just act on this ground state by a dagger. It does not annihilate, so we write this. Then we could write state, for example, with two A dagger. It's called two particle state. again, we understand why. So. And so on. Now, use where those relation, how H commutes with A dagger and P. Use 17, right, and 19. Then we find H gives me EP. So you can see this guy is eigen function of Hamiltonian with eigenvalue EP, which is nothing else as energy of one relativistic particle with mass m. This is why it's called one particle state. Now, what is momentum of this guy? P acts on, this is use 19. Again, use that relation 19 and you will get this answer. So this guy is actually eigenvalue, not just Hamiltonian, but momentum operator, and eigenvalue is just P. So it looks like really particle relativistic, because dispersion relation for energy is Einstein relation. Right, and in the case of, let me write two particle, what we will get? Again, check this by yourself by using those relations. We will get sum EP plus EQ. And this will be A and momentum of this guy will be sum of momentum P and Q. So it's quite consistent. P plus Q A P A dagger Q. So certainly, first of all, from this all relation, you can see that indeed what we call ground state has the lowest energy. All other state has, they have positive energy, right? So from this viewpoint, it's okay. Now, Chris, it was good question, like your question was quite good concerning dependence on time of those states. You ask why we believe that it exists. You know, this construction, of course, purely at this moment you consider mathematics. We assume that this guy satisfies this relation. And then we have consistent theory. We indeed showed that this guy has lowest energy and so on. When you say exists, what do you mean? Apparently you mean, like in the case of oscillator, that you solve Schrodinger equation. And in that case, you will get answer exponent times polynomial, Hermite polynomials, right? For ground state, it will be just exponent, dependence on coordinate. Okay, in principle, as I said, you could consider this question in quantum field theory, such as simple like this theory, Klein. Gordon, you could write actually answer, at least formal, for this ground state like some exponent. This is again connected with this
project. But at this moment, you could consider this approach kind of like axiomatic mathematicians like. So we consider state which satisfy this. Implicitly, we assume that it exists. And then we have consistent picture, right? That indeed this guy ground state. What would be disaster if we found states, not just with lowest energy, that you could find state with energy such as small without any boundary. It goes negative and it becomes large negative number without any limit. Sometimes it happens. And then people say, in this case, there is no ground state in theory. And our assumption was wrong. Actually, it will be exactly this case if your theory for electron, I mean free theory for particle with spin 1/2, would use this commutator, but not anti-commutator. Then you, again, would insist, OK, ground state satisfies this, but then you will get infinite number of state with negative energy. And again, this value of energy is large, negative, without any limit. So you do not have consistent theory in that case if you use commutator for quantization. And this is why this we are forced to use anti-commutator. And we have principal power. You see, so this is my answer at this moment. Right.
We also need the ground state to be unique.
It's a very good question, too. Actually, no. In many simple theories like this, it's indeed unique. In this case, we point is that one can prove also mathematically that if you consider this ground state and all states with any but finite number of a dagger acting on ground state, you will get consistent space. Mathematicians call it Hilbert space, but physicists call it Fock space. So the guy, not guy actually, he died already long ago. I met him in person long ago, Vladimir Fock. This is great Russian physicist. So he was first who introduced this construction, and it's called Fock space. So in that case, usually we have one ground state. But actually now we have theories where we have infinite number of ground state with the same energy. This is some supersymmetric theories, for example. So, no. But quite long people believed, and there was axiomatic approach in quantum field theory, actually initiated in Princeton by Whiteman, Dr. Whiteman. And one of axiom was that there is only one Lorentz invariant state in any quantum field theory, and this state is ground state. So point is that it's not difficult to show, we will come again to that, that this ground state is invariant under action on the state, Lorentz transformation and translation. So it's very special state. All others are not. And Whiteman strongly believed, and majority of people believe, that we have only one such a state. And this is vacuum. It's empty. And because of that, it's invariant with respect to all this transformation. Lorentz, it's empty. Now we know that the situation is much more subtle. There are concrete, some even soluble models where we have degenerates. No, it's certainly still again a kind of mystery, and it's possible that we have many theories.
So
which
then how do you build your other states? If you have six vacuums, what do you how do you know? What
right. Then at each vacuum, you create its own field theory. That's it. So it's your own Fock space. And they do not connect with each other if they are stable, if they are consistent. So you just have different theories, which is described by the same Lagrangian. The only problem in this case, you do not know how you could pick up one of them. It's true. We don't know. This is why some people still work on that. It's a problem, right? So we have not one solution, but many. It happens, right, sometimes in math when we have many solutions. So we have some, but in this, no problems like that in this case. So don't worry too much. Don't worry yet, at least. Okay, maybe, right. Let me just finish, and then I almost finished. Okay, so some properties of these states. So you can see, I described this, the statistic. This is, I already. Okay, so we have, because those guys commute with each other AW, we have this. You could just exchange them. This means states with interchange. Particles are identical. Right? We cannot. They are just equal. So no possibility to distinguish between them. This is quantum phenomena. Moreover, the mode with fixed momentum can contain arbitrary number of particles. Indeed, let me write arbitrary number of particles. Indeed, we just write, say, a dagger p and power n vacuum. You can write this. So we say, because of that, we say that KG Klein-Gordon particles satisfy Bose-Einstein statistic. Originally, it was actually introduced for photons, Bose-Einstein statistic, by Bose. Okay, and the last point, normalization of state. Last point before break.
So we assume that norm of our ground state is 1. Then and if we inner product log p say q, this will be equal vacuum a p a dagger q, and then use our relation for this guy, we will get that this is equal to pi cube delta 3 p minus q. From this is from 10, right? Okay, so just use that A annihilates the vacuum, so change the order here, and then you will get this guy. So we have this normalization. I believe it's good time for the lunch, so we'll stop. You could ask maybe still questions if you feel that it's necessary. Go ahead, and if you are not hungry. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm a little confused because I'm mentioning on the Hamiltonians. I cannot see why the dimensions for two terms are the same.
Oh, dimension is the same. Point is, this is dimension of energy. Do you agree? Mm-hmm. Because in our units with h bar 1 mm-hmm. and c 1, dimension of momentum same as energy or inverse of length. So V times D3P is dimensionless. Mm-hmm. So then you have just energy. Now here you have energy and point is that you can get dimension of A through this relation. And D3P has dimension of volume. If you consider Fourier, you see point is that D3P is D3X and something like that, right? PX. Anyway, it's like volume. Right, so you can see that dimension of this guy is square root of V, and this square root of V, right? Then we have again, this is dimension of volume, and this is inverse volume, and we have energy. So everything is fine. Yeah?
I've seen normalization be different for the
and other right, don't worry, you can use and we will come. This is normalization of the states. First of all, you of course can define in different way.
Yeah.
Actually, this states, this normalization, it's not Lorentz invariant, but we will come. I will show how you could get Lorentz invariant normalization later.
So Lorentz invariant, that would be an EP. Times the delta function?
Delta function, and there will be two EP.
Okay.
Or just EP. Two, it's just convenient. I will show why, first of all.
But at this moment, if we introduce like that, nothing wrong with that, you could use, and many people use this normalization, actually, not Lorentz invariant.
So the normalization that I was talking about is, has its advantages and that it's explicitly Lorentz invariant.
Point is that you could use, I introduce A through those Fourier transform with special EP in denominator and so on. But I define my state like that. But I could put any factor here, right? Then you will get different normalization. Point is whether it's convenient or not. So I should tell you that many people use this. Peskin use a little bit different, but we will come. I just I will justify, maybe even today. Then why we have a little bit different sometimes. Okay.